Hello, and welcome to the Women's Hour. My name is Kelly Pyle, and I am your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster. Today's show features articles from the December 16th issue of People Magazine and the December issue of Real Simple. Some of the articles I will share today include Taylor Swift, An Unstoppable Era, Farewell, a People Magazine tribute to those we've lost in 2024, and Jeff Goldblum's hilarious Rules for Life. People of the Year 2024, Taylor Swift, Her Unstoppable Era, how the pop superstar enchanted the world with a tour that forever altered pop culture, by Rachel DeSantis and Lizzie Hyman, from People. As she traveled five continents over the past 2 years for her massive Eras Tour, Taylor Swift held on to a mid-show fan tradition that began at her very first stop in Glendale, Arizona, marveling at the crowd after performing Champagne Problems. The pop superstar soaked in standing ovations lasting several deafening minutes. On November 23rd in Toronto, Swift grew emotional as she spoke from the heart. "We're at the very end of this tour," she said, trailing off as she wiped away tears. "So you doing that standing ovation, you have no idea how much it means to me, to my band, to my crew, to everybody who's put so much of this into the tour. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. It's not even the last show. I love you guys." It's understandable that Swift, 35, is feeling bittersweet as she says goodbye to the Eras Tour, which at press time was slated to wrap in Vancouver on December 8th. After 152 shows. Since it began in March 2023, it's been nothing short of a cultural phenomenon, reintroducing the world to the joy of friendship bracelets and inspiring the highest-grossing concert film of all time. It also evolved as Swift, who became the first musician to reach billionaire status solely based on performing and songwriting, according to Forbes, healed from heartbreak and settled into a new love with NFL star Travis Kelce. The Eras Tour is the most exhausting, all-encompassing, but most joyful, most rewarding, most wonderful thing that has ever happened in my life, Swift said in June. The star's enchanting year began on a high note. In February, she won Album of the Year at the Grammys for Midnights and shocked fans at the ceremony by announcing the Tortured Poets Department, which shattered records upon its April release. The album, which detailed Swift's healing journey after a chaotic breakup, marked a new chapter of the Eras Tour as she rejiggered her set list to introduce a new section. Journalist Rob Sheffield, whose book Heartbreak is the National Anthem, explores her massive influence, says Swift's magic lies in the fact that her songs are so personal yet relatable to those consuming her art. "The Beatles are the closest thing to a Taylor Swift that we have in history," says Sheffield. "She so completely transformed pop music." While shooting her Fortnite music video, Oscar-nominated cinematographer Rodrigo Prieto, who first worked with Swift on 2020's The Man, was taken by her work ethic. "You might think that someone with that level of success might be jaded or rely on others to feed her ideas, but she puts in the work, says Prieto. Swift revealed on the MTV Music Video Awards that Kelsey was on set cheering her on, and I think she felt very supported by his presence and probably also proud to show him what she does and the kind of leader she is, adds Prieto. She makes her own kind of touchdowns. Swift's family and friends were fixtures at her shows, with mom Andrea, dad Scott, and brother Austin mingling with fans and holding down the fort in the VIP tent. Kelsey attended 14 concerts and even surprised fans on stage, while his family, including brother Jason, sister-in-law Kylie, mom Donna, and dad Ed, supported Swift at various stops. One Tree Hill star, Tyler Hilton, who starred in Swift's Teardrops on My Guitar music video in 2007, says the Swift family and their tireless support of the singer are the real deal. They still treat her like she's just killing it at a talent show, he says. They're so excited for her still. Their earnestness as a family is so real. As she bids farewell to her era's tour, Swift is ready for some downtime. She's looking forward to a holiday break, a source says of Swift, who spent Thanksgiving hosting Kelsey, 35, and his family in Nashville with her loved ones. The Kansas City Chiefs star will be right by her side as she turns her focus toward the future, which includes 6 nominations, including Album of the Year at the 2025 Grammy Awards. Things with Travis are serious. He makes her very happy, the insider says. They're great together. Taylor has never been in a better relationship. Always one to leave her fans guessing through various Easter eggs, Swift dropped one clue that she still has plenty to come. In Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour Book, a commemorative tome she released on November 29th, the star said goodbye with a tease, "See you next era." With reporting by Pernilla Sedenheim, Ilana Kaplan, and Alexandra Schoenfeld. 2024's Top Plays. The year was full of major moments for Swift and Kelsey. Superfan. Kelsey's Super Bowl win with the Kansas City Chiefs on February 11th was sealed with an on-field kiss from Swift. All-star cameo. The golden rule was, do not drop Taylor, Kelsey said of joining Swift on stage in London on June 23rd. Stars in the stands. They sang along to I Believe in a Thing Called Love at the U.S. Open in NYC on September 8th. That's amore. During the NFL's off-season, Swift and Kelsey enjoyed a cozy boat ride on Lake Como on May 16th. Royal rendezvous. Thank you, at Taylor Swift, for a great evening, Prince William wrote on Instagram after taking Prince George and Princess Charlotte to Swift's Eras Tour stop in London on June 21st. Starry surprises. Swift's A-list pals popped up at the Eras Tour. Sabrina Carpenter. Swift's former opener spent a day off from her own Short and Sweet tour to perform with her pal on October 26th. Ed Sheeran. On August 15th, the longtime collaborators sing a mashup of their duets in London. Florence Welch. The Florence and the Machine singer joined Swift to perform their duet, Florida, at her October stops in Miami. The Taylor Effect. Whether she's setting trends or boosting economies, Swift is always good for business. 6,000. PopFlex shorts were pre-ordered, selling out in 15 minutes after Swift wore a lavender one in a 3-second YouTube video on April 19th. 3,500%. Sales spike for Fazit Beauty in the 48 hours after Swift wore the brand's glitter face sparkles to the October 7th Chiefs game. 2,461%. Jump in sales for Wove Made Ink after Swift was seen wearing the $6,360 bracelet featuring 4.62 carats of lab-grown diamonds that Kelsey asked the company to make. Fans spotted the TNT for Travis and Taylor bauble when she shared an embrace with Kelsey after a Kansas City Chiefs win on January 28th. The company also saw a 5,000% spike in website visitors and a doubling of social media followers. Sabrina Carpenter. The 25-year-old joined Swift for 12 shows in Australia and Singapore before the April release of her smash, Espresso. Then in August, Carpenter dropped her 6th LP, Short and Sweet, debuting at number 1 on the Billboard 200 and garnering 233 million streams in its first week. Tickets to her own tour sold out, and she earned 6 2025 Grammy nods, including Album of the Year. Gracie Abrams. After hitting the road with Swift in 2023, Abrams, 25, released her second album, The Secret of Us, in June, debuting at number 2 on the Billboard 200. She returned for the Eras Tour's final leg, during which she performed her and Swift's collab, Us, a contender for Best Pop Duo Group Performance at the 2025 Grammys. Benson Boone. Boone's hit Beautiful Things spent 6 weeks in the top 10 of the Billboard Hot 100 in early 2024. After opening for Swift in London in June, the 22-year-old earned a Grammy nomination for Best New Artist and won Best Alternative Video at the VMAs. 12. Consecutive weeks, her album, The Tortured Poets Department, spent atop the Billboard 200 chart, one of only 3 albums in history to do so. With a 14th number 1 album on the Billboard 200, Swift ties Jay-Z for the most chart-topping albums by solo artists. 2.6 million copies The Tortured Poets Department sold in its first week, including 1.4 million on day one, making it the top-selling and most-streamed album of 2024. 4 million plus number of new female NFL fans, which has surged since Swift attended her first Chiefs game in September 2023. 72.5% of NFL players view Swift's interest in the sport as a positive influence on the league, per The Athletic's anonymous 2024 poll. Swift played 3 back-to-back shows at Melbourne Cricket Ground on February 16th to 18th, drawing a record 96,000 attendees per night for a total of 288,000 concert goers, the largest stadium crowd she has ever performed for. Swift's four Tokyo shows in February were projected to boost Japan's economy by $228 million, with $162.7 million going directly to the city. The Eras Tour has been so financially beneficial for the cities that host it that Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau reached out to Swift on social media requesting stops in Canada, and she obliged. This has been Taylor Swift, Her Unstoppable Era, from People. Farewell, remembering the trailblazers, leaders, and legends we lost. This is from People Year-End Special 2024. Quincy Jones, Music Impresario, 91. In a career spanning 8 decades, the composer, arranger, producer, and philanthropist helped shape modern music, collaborating with artists from Frank Sinatra to Michael Jackson. Awarding Jones a posthumous honorary Oscar at the Motion Picture Academy's Governor's Awards in November, Jennifer Hudson said, "Quincy had a presence like no other, beyond a legend and an icon." Shannon Doherty, actress, 53. The hit show Beverly Hills 90210 made her a TV star at 19. But like her character Brenda Walsh, Doherty was a rebel whose headstrong behavior got her fired after season 4. Her grit served her well decades later when she was diagnosed with breast cancer, which eventually spread to her brain. In 2023, she started a podcast in which she discussed her illness with frankness. Said her 90210 co-star, Gabrielle Carteris, "By sharing her journey, she has helped so many." Bob Newhart, comedian, 94. After beginning his career as an accountant, he took a shot at comedy and never looked back. The TV mainstay proved you could be funny, smart, uncompromising, and still win, said Conan O'Brien. Ethel Kennedy, family matriarch, 96. The widow of Robert F. Kennedy and mother of 11 survived the assassination of her husband and deaths of 2 of her children. Still, she told People in 2012, "I was blessed with faith." Carl Weathers, actor, 76. The former NFL linebacker gained fame playing boxer Apollo Creed opposite Sylvester Stallone in the Rocky movies. "It's nice to have been part of something that's so iconic," he said. Dr. Ruth Westheimer, sex therapist, 96. With humor and candor, the 4-foot-7-inch dynamo counseled America on her radio and TV talk shows and in dozens of books. Asked what keeps her young, she told People, "Talking about sex from morning till night." Shelley Duvall, actress, 75. Discovered by director Robert Altman in Houston, she won over Hollywood with her quirkiness and vulnerability in films like Nashville and The Shining. When somebody recognizes you at a Dairy Queen in Texas, you're a star, she told People in 1981. Donald Sutherland, actor, 88. Never nominated for an Academy Award, he was finally given an honorary Oscar in 2017. The fearless 6-foot-4-inch Canadian immersed himself in roles in more than 100 films, from Ordinary People to The Hunger Games. Film acting, he once said, is about the surrender of will to the director. Richard Simmons, fitness guru, 76. Overweight in his youth, he shaped up and opened an exercise studio in LA in 1974. His over-the-top personality made him a hit with an empire of workout videos. Sweatin' to the Oldies sold 22 million copies, books, and even cruises. He retreated from the public eye in 2014, but was planning a comeback before his death. Richard Simmons always wanted people to feel good and be happy, Jane Fonda wrote. Toby Keith, country singer, 62. His breakthrough hit, Should Have Been a Cowboy, was one of the most played country songs of the 90s. Toby inspired millions, and I was one of them, Jelly Roll wrote in tribute. Cheetah Rivera, actress, singer, dancer, 91. The Broadway legend originated classic roles in West Side Story, Chicago, and Kiss of the Spider Woman, and won two Tony Awards. Very simply, there was then, and is now, nobody who can dance, sing, and act like Cheetah Rivera, said director-producer Hal Prince, honoring her at the Kennedy Center in 2022. Maggie Smith, actress, 89. She began her career as a theater actress at Britain's Oxford Playhouse at age 17. What followed was an unparalleled career that earned her 5 BAFTAs, 2 Oscars, and a Tony, as well as 4 Emmys, including 3 for Downton Abbey. In 1990, she was named a Dame Commander of the Order of the British Empire by Queen Elizabeth II. But it was not until she played Professor Minerva McGonagall in the Harry Potter franchise that she won over a new generation, telling Graham Norton, "A lot of very small people kind of used to say hello to me, and that was nice." Daniel Radcliffe praised her fierce intellect and gloriously sharp tongue. King Charles called her a national treasure. Kris Kristofferson, actor and singer-songwriter, 88. A Rhodes Scholar and Army captain, he fell in love with country music and began a career in Nashville, writing poetic hits such as Me and Bobby McGee. Then he turned to acting, appearing in movies like 1976's A Star is Born. What a great loss, what a great writer, what a great actor, what a great friend, Dolly Parton posted. James Earl Jones, actor, 93. He achieved EGOT, Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony status, but the pioneering actor with the deep baritone was most famous as the voice of Star Wars' Darth Vader and The Lion King's Mufasa. George Lucas remembered his most unique voice, both in art and spirit. Liam Payne, singer-songwriter, 31. Simon Cowell called Payne's 2010 X Factor tryout the standout audition among the group that became One Direction. Payne co-wrote 6 songs on the band's 2015 album before going solo in 2017. His death, after a fall from the hotel balcony, shook the music world. He had an energy for life that was infectious, wrote bandmate Harry Styles. Terry Garr, actress 79. She was beloved in comedies like Tootsie and Young Frankenstein, as well as on Friends, where she played Lisa Kudrow's mother. But her career was cut short by multiple sclerosis. Kudrow remembered her as a comedic acting genius who was and is a huge influence on me. Richard Lewis, comedian 76. Known for mining his neuroses, the stand-up comic and actor was nicknamed the Prince of Pain. He's credited with popularizing the expression, the blank from hell, as in the vacation from hell. Phil Donahue, talk show host, 88. A daytime TV innovator, he reinvented the talk show with topical subjects and audience participation. There wouldn't have been an Oprah show without Phil Donahue, posted Oprah Winfrey. Gina Rowlands, actress, 94. An early indie film star, she was known for her intense performances and volatile marriage to John Cassavetes. At her death, she was suffering from dementia, like her character in The Notebook. Martin Mull, actor, 80. His buttoned-up style and dry humor made him shine on shows like Arrested Development and Roseanne. In a statement to People, Michael McCain called him always brilliantly funny. You've been listening to Farewell, a People Magazine year-end special 2024, remembering the trailblazers, leaders, and legends we lost. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer broadcaster, Kelly Pyle, and this is the Women's Hour. Now hear this. If closed captions have become your best friend, and it sounds like everyone around you is mumbling, we've got the latest feedback on why you're having hearing trouble and what you can do about it. By Naomi Barr. This is from the health section of Real Simple Magazine. Illustrations by Asia Pietrich. Maybe you're starting to notice that your ears don't work as well as they used to. At crowded parties, you often stand there nodding along because you can't understand the conversation. Or you frequently mistake one word for another. For instance, your coworker says update, but you hear milkshake. Your go-to response is, what? If only real life came with subtitles. This, along with everything else, may be hard to hear, but these are common signs that you're experiencing hearing loss, says Frank Lynn, MD, PhD, director of the Cochlear Center for Hearing and Public Health at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. That said, Lynn actually believes the term hearing loss is misleading. It implies that one day you lose your hearing all of a sudden, he says. For most of us, it's a trajectory that begins in our 20s or younger and changes bit by bit over our lifetimes. The CDC estimates that by the time we turn 45, roughly 1 in 7 of us will experience some difficulty hearing, and when we hit 71, about 2/3 of us will be dealing with it. How hearing loss happens. In our youth, most of us enjoy practically bionic hearing. We're born with a finite number of microscopic hair cells, around 16,000, carpeting each inner ear like a shag rug. These cells are high-tech sensors that convert sound waves into electrical impulses, which are then sent along the auditory nerve to our brain. Once there, those signals are deciphered into sounds. When we have our full complement of cells, or close to it, we can hear an array of pitches and volumes. But when enough cells get damaged or die off, we begin noticing incremental changes, like a tendency to misunderstand words, that leave us cracking jokes about needing an ear horn. The damage can come from a number of sources, including medications, large doses of aspirin or certain antibiotics, for instance, illnesses, such as some autoimmune diseases, genetics, exposure to loud noises, and simply the wear and tear of daily life. Often that first hearing-related "rut-row" moment happens when we're in a noisy place, like a crowded restaurant, and realize we can't make out what our dinner companions are saying, even though just yesterday, or so it seems, everyone was coming in loud and clear. That's sometimes called hidden hearing loss, and according to experts, it's what many of us are dealing with. One reason it's called hidden is that it doesn't show up on a standard hearing assessment, which simply measures the quietest sound level you can pick up, says Stephane Mason, PhD, Associate Professor of Otolaryngology at Harvard Medical School and Director of Mass Eye and Ears Tinnitus Clinic in Boston. The test doesn't measure your ability to distinguish speech, for instance, when you're surrounded by a cacophony of other noises or speakers, he explains. A bit on why we struggle when there's loud stuff happening around us. The auditory nerve contains multiple tiny fibers. For simplicity's sake, we'll call them red and blue. The red fibers register sound at a lower level, so they're better at picking up noises in a quiet room, while the blue fibers register sound at higher levels. In noisy places like restaurants, the red fibers reach their maximum capacity, so we rely on the blue fibers to help convey sound information. Mason says, if some of those blue fibers are missing, you'll have a harder time following conversation in a bustling environment. And the older you get, the fewer blue fibers you're likely to have. Studies in animals have shown that these fibers are more vulnerable to aging and noise overexposure. What's more, losing them also affects the clarity of our hearing, Mason says, and turning up the volume won't fix it. When someone can't understand us, our reflex is to speak louder, he says. But without those blue fibers that help us distinguish words, we'll just get the same garbled sound as before, only at a higher volume. So next time your partner or parent asks you to repeat yourself, resist the urge to shout. Instead, move to a quieter area if possible. Talk to them face to face, about an arm's length away, and articulate. Why it matters and how you can prevent it. Taking care of your hearing is important, not just for knowing what the heck is going on around you, but also, as it turns out, for the long-term health of your brain. Unchecked hearing impairment increases your risk of cognitive decline down the line. It's the single largest potentially treatable risk factor for dementia, Lynn says. First, untreated hearing loss can gradually lead people to be socially isolated, less physically active, and therefore less mentally stimulated. The other big thing is that the gradual loss of information and stimulation coming from the ear may increase atrophy in the brain itself. Unfortunately, we can't prevent our ears from aging. But because hearing decline is gradual, we can help slow the damage. If that sounds good, lend us your ears. Turn down the volume. Over time, the commotion of everyday life, living or working in environments with high noise pollution, blasting music through your earbuds, going to bars, will harm your hearing. Extended or repeated exposure to noise of 85 decibels, dB, or above can begin damaging those precious hair cells. And life is louder than you'd expect. Your blender probably clocks in at 85 dB. Buzzy restaurants can also hit around 85 dB. Music through your earbuds can go higher than 100 dB. The louder the level, the more swiftly the damage is done. The consensus is that being exposed to 85 dB for more than 8 hours a day total will harm your ears, but increase the level a mere 3 dB to 88 and you risk damage in only 4 hours, and so on. Then there's the fact that most people won't notice a high volume until it goes up about 8 to 10 dB, and that's when the damage can happen very quickly, says Vinala Manchaya, PhD, doctor of audiology and professor of otolaryngology at the University of Colorado School of Medicine. So it's easy for us to put ourselves at risk, he says. After a couple years of repeated exposure, you'll start to notice hearing issues. Spending time in a super loud environment, concerts typically start at 110 dB, can cause temporary hearing loss. As you know, if you've ever walked out of a sporting event and noticed that everything's muffled, that's called a temporary threshold shift, says neuroscientist Anthony Ritchie, PhD, professor of otolaryngology at Stanford University School of Medicine. Getting back to normal could take anywhere from a couple of hours to several days. The more sustained the loudness, the longer it could take to recover, Ritchie says. And if you expose yourself to this level of noise often, you may put yourself on an accelerated path to hidden hearing loss, which happens to be one of the first stages of a permanent condition. Apps like Decibel Pro, Sound Meter, and Decibel X can turn your smartphone into a dB reader, so you'll know when the noise level is getting risky. You can also open the Noise app on your Apple Watch, which will constantly monitor environmental noise and alert you to potentially harmful levels. Speaking of devices, Manchaya advises keeping your headphone volume no higher than 60%. Wear earplugs. When it's not convenient to escape a noisy space, earplugs can be an answer. They range from the squishy foam drugstore kinds to more customizable silicone. You'll need to know their noise reduction rating, NRR, which indicates the amount of noise blocked, typically between 10 and 33 dB. If you're a devotee of live music, it's probably best to go with the highest NRR you can get. You might also consider concert earplugs, designed to protect your hearing without muffling the music. Popular brands are Loop, Decibels, and Etymotic. but any sound protection is better than none. Get tested. Lynn encourages everyone to try the free app Hearing Number, recently launched by the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Though, like all standard tests, it won't readily detect hidden hearing loss, it will check your ability to hear softer sounds, which tends to worsen with age. Each ear gets ranked with a number between minus 10 dB and 100 dB, indicating the softest level of sound you can pick up. The lower the number, the better your hearing, and vice versa. If your numbers are in the 10 to 20 range, which is generally considered normal, but you're noticing occasional problems hearing others in noisy settings, you could try over-the-counter hearing aids, Lynn says. Once you're over 20, we recommend aids, whether over-the-counter or prescription. More on those next. You might also find it helpful to adjust your communication strategies so you can understand people better. Stand face to face when you're speaking with someone. And if you can, make calls over the internet via apps like Google Voice, WhatsApp, and FaceTime, which have better sound quality than cell services. If you suspect you have hearing loss, especially if a do-it-yourself test confirms it, make an appointment with an audiologist. And if you notice any sudden, non-noise related hearing loss, or muffling, pain, or pressure in your ear, ask your doctor to refer you to an ear, nose, and throat specialist. Those symptoms could be the result of earwax plugging your ear canal or swollen eustachian tubes due to allergies or a sinus infection. Lean on some aids. Only 16% of people between the ages of 20 and 69 who could actually benefit from hearing aids actually use them, according to the National Council on Aging. This may be because of lack of information or access or the potential stigma. But considering the link between hearing and brain health, it's time to shift our collective attitude. In a study Lynn published last year in the medical journal The Lancet, individuals who used hearing aids and were at higher risk for developing dementia slowed their cognitive decline by 48% over 3 years, compared with those who had the same risk but went without hearing aids. More good news. Today's devices are sleeker and less conspicuous than ever, thanks in large part to the introduction of over-the-counter hearing aids in 2022, which spurred improvements in technology and cost, Lynn says. Over-the-counter models range from $99 to more than $3,000 and are designed to be used for mild to moderate hearing loss. The National Council on Aging gives top marks to the Jabra Enhance, as well as positive reviews to Audion Hearing, Eargo, Lexi, and MD Hearing. Still not ready? Some apps can turn your earbuds into de facto aids. The iPhone's Live Listen feature converts your phone into a microphone that feeds sound to your AirPods or Beats earbuds so you can better hear close conversations in noisy environments. Fortunately, the days of the ear horn are long behind us, and that is music to our ears. You've been listening to the health section of Real Simple. Now hear this. Nerding out. Hibernation. Curl up and learn how some species get through winter without Netflix. By Jenny Brown. from Real Simple. Living takes up a lot of energy, and we aren't just talking about your overloaded holiday schedule. Simply breathing and pumping blood require power, generated by cells turning food into fuel. So when temps drop and food grows scarce, many animals avoid all that bodily work by essentially shutting down. Hibernation is very different from sleeping. Even that burns precious energy. It's a death-like state in which the body goes cold and heart rate, breathing, and metabolism slow way down, much more than in sleep. Various mammals, insects, amphibians, and reptiles do it, though the methods, place, and duration differ wildly. Some species, like crocodiles, shut down when it gets too hot. That's called estivation. Scientists view it as a biological marvel and keep unearthing cool discoveries about how it happens. Here's a bit of what we know. It's not a constant state. Even in the depths of winter, hibernators can be periodically active. They may have a snack, go to the bathroom, or, like hedgehogs and bats, move into a new hibernaculum, the nest, burrow, or cave hibernators lie in. Surprisingly, research suggests they also rouse themselves in order to sleep, which requires energy, if you recall. Possibly because a good snooze is so vital to brain health. Some species freeze solid. Cooling down helps slow the metabolism, and some hibernators chill their core temperature close to 32 degrees Fahrenheit. Their stored body fat and the insulation in their hibernacula help them not freeze to death. The wood frog, however, as well as some insects, drop below freezing and turn their bodies partly into ice. They can thaw and refreeze as the need arises. Bears are weird. For starters, they're by far the largest mammal to hibernate. Also, their body temp only dips by a few degrees, which to some scientists means they don't technically hibernate at all. They're just in, quote, torpor. Others call them super hibernators because they stir so infrequently. They might go up to 6 months without even peeing. How? Their bodies recycle urine into protein. Humans might do it one day. Our species evolved in warm climates, so we never needed a bodily mechanism to endure winter. Scientists are studying how to get us in on the inaction for things like cryopreservation and space travel. But that sci-fi future is far off. In the meantime, we'll have to stick to fireplaces, blankets, and TV binges. With illustrations by Mark Conlan, you've been listening to Nerding Out, Hibernation, from Real Simple. Jeff Goldblum's hilarious rules for life. The wicked star and married dad shares some of his wacky but practical wisdom by Eric Anderson and Juliet Lopez. Photographs by Ben Trivett from People Magazine. Jeff Goldblum has just begun filming on his first major movie when someone on set sideswiped him with a negative review. "You stink." No, it wasn't Goldblum's performance, but rather his body odor. To convincingly play a menacing street thug in the 1974 Charles Bronson thriller Death Wish, the normally fastidious Pennsylvania native thought he should stop bathing in what he calls a misguided attempt at method acting. The assistant director came up to me and said, "Jeff, we're in a small space here. You smell. Can you do something about that?" Recalls the Jurassic Park actor, 72. "I was shamed, but it was a good lesson. In show business or any collaborative, close area, keep your hygiene up." It's one of the many nuggets of wisdom the proudly quirky actor, now starring as the Wizard of Oz in the blockbuster movie Wicked, learned through the years. Asked for his rules to live by, Goldblum, who shares sons Charlie 9 and River 7, with his wife, former Olympian rhythmic gymnast Emily 41, offers up a few more. "If you're not the boss, trust the boss." "I don't mean Bruce Springsteen," says Goldblum. "He means directors, like the greats he's worked with. Steven Spielberg, Jurassic Park. Wes Anderson, The Grand Budapest Hotel. And most recently, John M. Chu, Wicked. You can't be good unless the movie's good, and it's hard to make a good movie, even if you have a good director," continues Goldblum, who says he's lucky as all get out to be in Wicked, the beautiful prequel to The Wizard of Oz. Stay hydrated, even if you don't want to. Goldblum sees those folks who are constantly drinking water. Chug-a-luggers, he calls them. By nature, they go, they know it's good, and they really do the whole thing. Goldblum is not one of those people. "I like water during a meal, plain ice water. It makes it feel festive." Stay grounded in whatever way you can. The Oscar nominee recommends finding something that keeps you human, authentic, and not full of yourself. For him, that's his wife, his kids, and his poodle, Woody. "He doesn't care that I'm in any movies, of course, and the kids don't care either. And neither does Emily, really. I mean, they like it, but more important things are going on with them, and who I am seems to be more important when I'm around them." Be mindful about fish. "I have a lot of rules about salmon," jokes Goldblum, who prefers his medium rare. "You can dry it out. Don't do it." Also, wild is better. Stay away from the less environmentally ethical. Laugh with your kids. Goldblum says when he and Emily were expecting their first child, someone gave him a memorable tip. "Don't forget that your kids are hilarious." He hasn't. The kids can drive you nuts from one moment to another, or you can have all sorts of drama, he says. But if you can keep finding the humor in it, that's not a bad rule. His youngest, River, is missing some of his baby teeth and just learned how to whistle, which gives Goldblum the giggles. "There's a kind of a toothy thing going on there. It's just great. It's not only funny, but it's funny/amazing. 3 major movie milestones. Death Wish. Small part, big movie. Goldblum was an unnamed criminal in the 1974 hit. The Fly. Goldblum got raves as a scientist who morphs into an insect in the 1986 remake of the horror film. Jurassic Park. The dinosaur disaster flick was the top-grossing movie of 1993. This has been Jeff Goldblum's Hilarious Rules for Life from People Magazine. Well, that's a wrap on today's Women's Hour. Thanks for joining us. My name is Kelly Pyle, and I am your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster. I hope you enjoyed the show today and all the fun stories. And I also hope you'll make plans to join us again next week for another interesting and entertaining collection of women's magazine articles. And don't forget, you can take Sun Sounds with you. You can stream as well as access shows on demand on our new Sun Sounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android phones. And did you know you can hear Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device? We look forward to having you join us again. And in the meantime, be sure to stay tuned to Sun Sounds of Arizona and enjoy your day.